We're speaking now with Darrell Wheeler. He is the Republican incumbent candidate for Bonner County Sheriff. And I want to say, Sheriff Wheeler, thank you for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you, Chris. It's a pleasure to reach out and let your listeners know more about me.
Well, let's start with an introduction for those who may not be that well acquainted with you. Why don't you tell us a bit about your background, how long you've lived here, how you wound up here, and also, of course, your experience and qualifications for the office.
Sure, Chris. I moved my family here in late spring of 1998. As most people know, I started my law enforcement career in a place which would be southwest of Boise, Idaho, in another state. And I decided that that state was has outgrown me, and I didn't want to raise my children there. So I moved my wife and four children to Clark Fork and set residence there and started a job as a resident deputy in 1998. And that was at the same time the jail was about to open. I was operating out of the old jail and the old sheriff's office.
That was quite a difference right there.
Boy, yeah. Wasn't it. And I have been serving the community for the last almost 26 years at the capacity of law enforcement. Mm-hmm. And I spent 2.5 years at the sheriff's office, and then after a stint there, I went to work for the Sandpoint Police Department and then ran for the office of sheriff in 2008, and that was almost 16 years ago.
So you've had four terms?
So I'm at the very end of my fourth term, yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other pertinent professional experience or trade or professional associations you might want to mention?
Well, yes, I was. So I have been a certified officer since March of 1986. So I've been in this business for over 38 years. And as far as the training experience, I have achieved every training certificate that you can achieve here in Idaho through the Peace Officer Standards and Training. And I've led our sheriff's office for the last 15 and a half years. I'm the past president of the Idaho Sheriff's Association, and it really requires the ability and experience in law enforcement to lead a statewide organization of sheriffs.
All the counties have sheriff
there's
members?
44, there's 44 counties, and there are 44 elected sheriffs every 4 years, and this is that fourth year this year. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, here's a question I always ask every candidate. Why are you running for re-election?
Well, I want to continue the service I have to this community. I've been doing this for four terms, and before I retire, I want to continue to keep the county safe. I really believe that there are assaults against the liberties of those people that live and visit in Bonner County, and I want to make sure that their liberties are protected. I have a highly trained staff, and I want to make sure that that remains the same and that the safety is number one goal for us, and continue to do that. And I've been fiscally responsible for the budget that has been entrusted for me for the last four terms. And I want to continue to do that and continue this at least through this next term.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this is a question that might be kind of self-evident, but how much time can you devote to your office on a weekly basis?
Well, fortunately or unfortunately, I'm on the clock 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So I work in the office 5 days a week. I'm doing extracurricular activity on the weekends. I take phone calls at 1-2 in the morning. And so I will devote all the time that I have historically in the last four terms to this one. Mm-hmm. I'm very committed to this community in doing that.
Okay. What do you consider the biggest issues in the sheriff's race that you think voters should be weighing as they decide who they're going to vote for?
Well, I think the biggest issues are looking at the qualifications of both of those candidates and what do they have offer. I believe that you need to look at what kind of training each of us have had, what kind of experience What have we accomplished in what we've done throughout our lives? How do we conduct ourselves and our, and you should base that opinion and base your opinion on and who you decide to vote really based on that. I have been consistent, open and available to the constituents in the county, and I have made public safety my number one goal living here and making sure that your liberties are protected. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Other issues? Are there any specific issues you want to mention?
Well, the issues, I think that the issues that we have, we're experiencing here, and I think it's everybody in the county is trying to how to deal with competitive salaries and competitive housing markets, and that is right now is a huge issue for the sheriff's office. Currently, we have 6 openings in patrol. We have 6 openings in the jail. We have 6 openings in dispatch, we have an IT position. We have just several positions. We have, I think, 3 positions in Marine Division, and it's really difficult to recruit candidates that are qualified and meet the standard and the criteria that's required to be, especially a police officer, to be able to move here into Bonner County, to afford the move, and then even more importantly, to find a place to live. We're so short on housing, even rentals. I think the average housing cost here in Bonner County is $500,000 or $600,000. And we it's just very hard to compete with those even just 45 minutes south of us, mm-hmm. in Kootenai County, where they're offering the same job and requirements at $10 more an hour. And if you go...
And next, housing is actually a little less.
And housing is cheaper. And then you go to even Spokane County, they're offering a $25,000 signing bonus if you're... Mm-hmm. If you're a lateral position, and if you're just starting brand new in Spokane County, they're offering a $10,000 bonus. So it's very difficult to compete with those, and we have just lost a couple of people recently that went to Kootenai County because of salary. They would like to live here, but it's just impossible to sustain a life here and live in these areas.
So what do you see as a solution to that? I know a lot of employers, it's not just the sheriff's department, and employers up and down Main Street are having the same problem.
Well, we need to create some kind of incentives for those moving here. We do have an incentive for those moving out of state, helping with the cost of moving, but we need to figure out what we can do as a county, and it's really on the shoulders of the county commissioners. How can we offer competitive wages to keep people here, and especially in law enforcement? When you look at the role of government, I believe public safety is probably, I do, is the number one goal of government. If you can't live safely and you're in fear of your personal property and those committing crimes against you, then why would you even want to live here? And I may have mentioned, so it costs the sheriff's office over $100,000 to hire and train a brand new deputy. And we need to retain those people and not just become a training ground, that we can stay here and use that experience and that opportunity for those people to continue to stay here. Mm-hmm. And we have to put our heads together and work cooperatively to find out how we can figure that out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of it does come down to the housing cost alone, along with the competitive wages. Yeah, that's a problem, like I mentioned, for a lot of other employers. Okay, any other issues that you would identify for voters to be weighing out?
So, yeah, well, some of the issues that we're experiencing here are really the increase of population, the increase of calls for service, the increase of traffic accidents, the kind of crimes that we're investigating. I think I've shared, and maybe some of your listeners have known that 2 years ago, right in at the end of COVID, we had so many people working in here, or living, moving and working in Bonner County, that, for instance, our fatal accidents increased 250%. Our sex crimes in this county 2 years ago were higher than Ada County, and we were number three in filing of adult.
Not just per capita?
Not per capita, but yes.
You know, really?
So, and then the next year, those reported sex crimes increased 27%, and this last year increased 37%. So when I look at some of the needs for the sheriff's office, besides retaining and keeping the levels of those that are responding to calls for service, I've asked the last 2 years that the commissioners approve a position for just traffic enforcement officer, a deputy that can go up and hit those areas that need the attention, the speeders, and that are those areas. And then I've asked for an additional sex crime investigator in the detectives unit, because that is a huge burden for them, and you've got really just a couple of detectives that are working around the clock, that are unfortunately on call 7 days a week to start those initial investigations, and they're getting tired, and I just want to relieve that. But it's difficult. It's difficult to find out what the priorities are of the county, and primarily I need to hear from people, especially during the budget workshop area, what's important to you. Do you want more people, or do you want the commissioner spending time and money on trying to cut 2 acres from the Justice Center property to give to the fairgrounds, or do you want us to really dwell and hone in on what's important for the county? And I believe public safety is important for most people living here, and there are a lot of additional residents that have moved here because they've identified this place as a place of liberty and freedom, and it's a safe place to live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, relative to other big urban areas.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's a question that I'm going to ask you to grade yourself here. What kind of grade overall would you give for operations by the Sheriff's Department, and which I guess would include areas that you think you're doing well with, or areas that you might see need for improvement?
So people may say, how can you say this? I'm going to say, based on the funds that we have given and the amount of people that we've got working, I think we're doing a fantastic job, and I'll give us ourselves an A, because we are using resources, we are manipulating and changing the schedules and making sure that the areas are covered when we have investigations, and especially unique and investigations with homicides and sex offenses and some of those things. I mean, the people, the men and women, and driver's license, the clerks, those that are working in detention and dealing with the shortfalls of the jail are stepping up. I mean, with the vacancies in the jail, we've got people working 100 hours overtime just to fill those positions, and they are stepping up, and they're committed to the safety, and they're committed to making things work for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I got a couple of questions on some specific issues. So at the candidates forum about a week ago, I think both you and your opponent made reference to the position of the county sheriffs as being that of a, quote, constitutional sheriff. Can you expand on what the concept of a constitutional sheriff means?
Sure. Well, I guess it's pretty easy. Constitutional sheriff is someone who follows the bylaws of our state and the bylaws of our federal government, and those are outlined in the Constitution. So that's going to be supreme for me, and if there are any mandates, executive orders, any laws that are created outside of Congress or the legislature that are in conflict with the Constitution, then it's my job as a lower magistrate to stand in between them and the people to interpose. So I'm going to look at the Constitution first of all and base my decisions on how to keep the people safe based on what these laws and mandates are. An example of that was during the lockdown, during COVID lockdown. there were mandates made, and you can't travel, and you can't open your restaurant, and you can't freely express your religion, and they were trying to close the church down, the churches down, and that's a total violation of our Constitution. And so I stood my ground and said, we're not going to do that, and exhibited my commitment to the Constitution. And I'm hoping that that when I leave, that the next sheriff will be committed to the same way. That's what I see that.
Okay. Well, so the question that rises for me there, so interpreting the Constitution and how it is applied to any law is, I think most people, or many people at least, think of that as being the role of the courts and ultimately the Supreme Court. So do you feel that your position as a top law enforcement officer in the county is at odds with that?
Oh, I don't. Absolutely not. So I'm not talking about nullification of laws. I'm talking about the interpretation and how laws are passed. Especially, we've seen an assault over really the last, actually since the Obama administration and forward, where there have been mandates, there have been rules that have been established by federal government and states that are not passed by Congress. And so when those rules are trying to be enforced, it's my position as the sheriff to say, listen, these are contrary to the Constitution, because in Article 1 says you have Congress, you have the House of Representatives and the Senate. And so when you give power to an administrative body that doesn't have the power that is articulated in the Constitution, that's when I need to interpose and say, no, you're not going to come in here and do that. And so there's a big difference between that and nullification. Mm-hmm. And I'm really about interposing when these illegal acts or these illegal, they think that there are laws that are enacted. They're not laws. Mm-hmm. They're just mandates.
Mm-hmm. And case in point being some of those COVID restrictions.
Correct. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, another issue that came up at the forum was an interesting question having to do with militias. So that would be groups of citizens who are carrying out firearm training with their own command structures for some potential future problem that comes up. What is your relationship to private militias? And I should say the state has had in the past a prohibition on private militias. I don't think it's been enforced. And the Idaho legislature had some bill come up that that would have restricted parading or something that I think it went away.
And that was overturned, yes. So so when you look at our state constitution, our the laws of Idaho and especially our constitution says that the governor is the only one who can call out the militia. The elected sheriff does not have statutorily that ability. We used to have posse comitatus in the state of Idaho, and I think it was in 2015 and when that was overturned. It used to be an officer could direct somebody and said, I have an escaped arrestee, help me right now. Well, they eliminated that, so we cannot actually force or call someone out. I really think I'm really encouraged to see that the state legislature address that and give that authority and power based on the Constitution and our state laws to the sheriff so that we can call that out. I can tell you I have met with different militias in the county and welcome them to continue, because they are free to meet and train and be ready so when the governor calls them out, they will. I have a vicarious liability for the sheriff's office. If I call someone out to assist me, they have to be vetted within our office, just like we have search and rescue. We have about 75 search and rescue members that have been vetted and work. And so I know that when I call them out, that they have passed our security background, and I know that I can trust them, and I can trust, and the people that they're serving can be trusted. And without that vetting process, it's really difficult for me just to call out. I can't just call out a group. I have to call out individuals. And so those individuals have to be vetted. And if they want to volunteer, then I'd be loved to hear from them and use them when the time or if the time comes.
A couple of follow-ups there. One would be the governor would be more likely to call it the National Guard, wouldn't he, in some kind of situation?
Well, they would call it the National Guard, but they... The Constitution describes what the militia is, and those militia groups can be called out by the National Guard, by the governor.
By the governor.
So mm-hmm. that's what our state statute says.
Mm-hmm. I think we had a kind of a recent example of it was a few years back during the Black Lives Matter riots that were happening around the country.
Right.
And it was a rumor went out that some Antifa people were going to be coming here in white vans. This is part of the rumor. It was pretty specific. And a bunch of fellows came and patrolled up and down the streets with, you know, a lot of tactical gear and firearms. How were you interacting with that particular instance?
So I was actually interacting with the state and with my partners around. So we had, during that time, I actually had two detectives that were working 24 hours around the clock investigating those type of reports that people were making. And we determined there was a white van coming from Montana. We investigated that, determined that was unfounded. We followed up with what was happening with the group, and that Antifa group was actually bussed into Spokane, and they came over into Coeur d'Alene, and there was no verified source of information that they were coming up here. And so I was asked by some groups, hey, we need to get some people down there. And I'm telling them, listen, my intel says no one's coming. And what it turned out to be, it was some high school students that marched on the Long Bridge. Mm-hmm. So no one came up.
Yeah, local high school.
Yeah, they
students.
Were local high school. And there was no need to come out and show that force out there, because we had determined that it was not valid information, and there was no need to really be concerned.
But the guys did come, and were you concerned that things might get out of hand?
I wasn't concerned, because I think, they didn't ask my permission, because if they want to come out, they have a right to come out. Mm-hmm. Nothing they did was illegal. I wouldn't say it was... it wasn't necessary, but there's nothing that prevented them to do that. People did have a reaction, a negative reaction to do it. But if something that came up and I found out that it was legitimate, I have at my disposal, I have 75 search and rescue people that can come out there. They all are certified and with the minimum amount of training that I require of them, and I know that I can trust them to come up and take orders from me to mm-hmm. do what's necessary. And then we also have all the deputies that work here at the sheriff's office that were available to come out. I mean, that's to show a case, changing the subject. In 2020, when we had the Hunter fire, we had 6,050 acres on fire on both sides of Highway 41. Communications were down. And our deputies, and I called everybody in patrol, and we had those that were in detectives came out, and we had to knock on 450 doors mm-hmm. and physically notify
the western part of the county.
The western, down in Blanchard area, yes. And so when we have an emergency, an incident that we need to respond to, and we do it. I mean, we've prepared, we've planned for that, and so we can address the emergencies when they come up.
Okay, we're going to run out of time, as we expected, but I want to squeeze in at least one more, maybe two more questions. So the fairgrounds have been an issue that has been in the newspapers really consistently for the past year or so. Now, you published a report indicating that there was misappropriated funds from the fairgrounds from 2018 to 2022, as much as $247,000 is the number I saw reported. The commissioners have voted to hire an outside audit there. Then another issue about the fairgrounds, of course, has been there was a proposed RV park by the commissioners that you wanted to see that property held for the future expansion of the Justice Center. Just give us in just a minute or so your brief take on these fairgrounds issues.
Sure. So this could take the whole show.
Yeah, I know.
To talk about so, this. But if your listeners remember that the county prosecutor, the Chief Kuhn, and I, we put out a joint press release asking people to kind of withhold judgment until the investigation was complete. That's when people were criticizing what's happening, what caused the incident that happened at the fairground when Darcy Smith took her own life. And then
The late fair director.
Yeah, the late fair director. And then I waited till the investigation was completed, and that investigation was completed by the prosecuting attorney. And then when that was released, I released the facts. Most people know that they looked at a 20-page redacted portion of the report. The whole report was, I believe, 286 pages. So that whole report wasn't done. But it did show that there was fraud at the fairgrounds, that it needs to be investigated, and it's really up to the County Board of Commissioners to initiate that investigation, to do an audit, to find out where all these funds went, because all these funds were cash proceeds from fair events, and there was no accountability. We have, as part of the investigation, showing how many tickets were taken, and the ticket amount and the amount of cash that was deposited didn't add up, and so we looked at a lot of fraud going on in there, and I'm hoping that is done. The commissioners voted to do
an audit
of this last year, not two or three years prior to that.
When the activity
right, was when occurring. The activity actually happened, yes. And so, and then the land issue, I think it'd be important for your listeners to look at who my opponent is and look at who signed his declaration of candidacy, because the proponents that have been pushing against the sheriff's office, and it seems like they're kind of pushing me out, who signed my opponent's candidacy form were former Commissioner McDonald, Luke Ommett, the planning director. You've got a couple of members on the planning and committee who signed that, and there seems to be an issue is about future land use, is what this whole election's about. Mm-hmm. So I would just hope that the people would see what's really going on. We purchased that property, I should say we, the county purchased that property for a justice center in 1990, and it was intended to be used for that. Several years ago, a commissioner tried to give away 4 acres to an ice rink, which ice rink is really nice, but it's not needed for public safety or for county property. And then we have incumbent commissioner right now that has been trying to cut off 2 acres of that complex and give it to the fairgrounds for an RV park. And that was part of their application to the city. So I would say that the county needs to keep every piece of property that we have that was designated, because right now you've got the juvenile detention center, you've got juvenile probation, you have 911 dispatch, you have the jail that needs to be either replaced or expanded. And then you've got a 114-year-old courthouse that doesn't have enough room for even all the judges to meet and hold court. So I think we're in a crisis and we need to figure this out and not spend time and resources on trying to cut up some land that has been for years designated for justice services. Mm-hmm.
Well, we are running over time. Darrell Wheeler, our incumbent sheriff and Republican candidate, how can people get a hold of you or find out more about you if they decide how they want to vote?
Sure. So you can go to my website. It is wheeler4sheriff.com, and the 4 is the letter 4. So Wheeler for Sheriff. You can see there my qualifications, my accomplishments, a little bit about my family, some of the organizations I've worked for, and also even more importantly, I mean, selfishly, there's a little donate button there, and if you'd like to help me with my campaign, I'd love to be part of the campaign and help keeping Bonner County safe. So thank you for giving me that opportunity to put that out.
Throw a plug out there. Well, Darrell Wheeler, again, Republican candidate and incumbent for Bonner County Sheriff, thank you for taking time to talk with us.
You're welcome.